Exodus chapter number 2, and I'm going to preach a little radio message to you tonight. Amen. Exodus chapter number 2, and I hope that it'll be a help to us tonight. If you're able to stand with us, Exodus chapter number 2. I want you to notice in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second time, or second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard that this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." Father, I ask you tonight to help us these next few moments. I pray, God, that you would give us the liberty and the vocabulary to say what you'd have us to say. May you get the glory and the honor. We'll love you and we'll thank you for it. For we do ask it in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice when we come to verse number 11 here, I want you to notice the men that are mentioned in this text here in verse 11. There is three men that is mentioned here. I would say that one of these men who we look at tonight would be considered a blessing. Amen. We're talking about Moses tonight. Moses is a miracle in and of himself. For you know that by the time you get to verse number 11, that there's no other reason as to why Moses should be alive other than the faith of his mother and most of all the providential hand of God. And so there is a man in this text who is a blessing. And then there's another man in verse number 11 who is a bully here. It's this Egyptian. He is an officer, a ranking officer in the Egyptian army or Egyptian, amongst their government system here. And he is abusing another man. And we see this man that he's abusing is a Hebrew. And so this man is nothing more than a bully that is taking his authority and his ability, what he has, and he's exercising it upon this slave simply because he can. And so there is a man who is a bully, and then there is a man who is a brother. The Bible says here in verse number 11 that he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now that reminds us tonight that no matter how long Moses had grew up in the palace, he always knew that he was more of a Hebrew than what he was an Egyptian. Amen. He may have had Egyptian training and he may have an Egyptian stepmother and he may have lived in the palace, but what was implanted in him, what was instilled in him through his mother, his faith and his foundation, all of Egypt and its riches could not take away. I want to say tonight that's the way it is with a child of God. If you've been born again, you may go out to this world, but you'll never fit in this world if you've truly been saved. And so we notice the men in this text here. And then I want you to notice the murder in verse number 11 and 12. The Bible says that in verse 11 that he spied this Egyptian here and then he slew him. The Word of God says that he slew. He looked, the Bible said in verse 12, this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, that's interesting because the murder that Moses commits here would not be the same type of murder that Cain committed. Cain committed one out of anger and jealousy and one out of stubbornness and bitterness. But Moses, it would almost seem as if Moses is doing this. He has good intentions in mind. It could even be the possibility of self-defense that things would have went from bad to worse. And it could almost be as if
there was no option whatsoever, but I don't think the scripture really teaches that, even though some have alluded to that fact, some commentaries have, but when you come to here to this text, we know that Moses, he commits a sin, amen? I mean, it wasn't the same type of murder as Cain, but murder is still murder, isn't that right? You say, well now, preacher, could he write in what he was doing? I would say, number one, he would not have had to do what he did in verse 12, and that was look this way or look that way, amen? He didn't have to look over his shoulder. If Moses would have been right in what he was doing, then Moses would have not had to bury this man in the sand, nor would he have had to fear when one of his own brethren brought it back up. But what we find here is that Moses takes matters in his own head. In other words, he was going to deliver Israel, but he's about 40 years too early, amen? He's not learned to wait on God. He cannot deliver them one Hebrew at a time, and he cannot fight them one Egyptian at a time. Moses is going to have to learn that he's going to have to put some matters in the hand of God rather than take care of things himself, amen? And so we notice the men, and we notice the murder, but I want us to notice the message tonight, because really tonight I'm not focusing as much on Moses as I am the man that he hides in this sand. Notice the Bible said in verse number 12 that he hid him in the sand. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on the man in the sand. The man in the sand. Because the man in the sand is dead, but he has a message. He has a message for Moses. He has a message for all of Egypt. And he has a message for us today. You say, what do you mean, this man in the sand? What is the message? Well, the message, the Bible said that he hid him in the sand. The message from the man in the sand, number one is this, you cannot cover your sin and get by. Moses buries this man in the sand. He takes this man's life. He places him in the sand. He covers him up. Only, my friend, we don't get two verses. Amen. We don't get two verses out of verse number 12. And guess what? That man has somewhat resurrected in a conversation. It's already come back. Hey, the Bible says to be sure your sins will find you out. You can bury it as deep as you want to. You can cover it up with whatever you want to. But you cannot sin and get by. The Bible said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. Amen. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth of that shall he also reap. I'm saying tonight, if there's hidden sin in my life, if there's hidden sin in your life, you can rest assured, my friend, there's coming a day. God said if you cover your sin, you'll not prosper. Amen. If you cover your sin, God will uncover your sin. You see, what we're to do with sin is not cover it. We're to confess it. 1 John 1:9 said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Moses does not come clean. Now, you may say, well now preacher, God is going to use this to get Moses out of his homeland, and God is going to use this to get him out in the desert, and it's in the desert he's going to see the burning bush, and he's going to come back and be the great leader that God wanted him to be. I understand that, and thank God that God can providentially work in spite of us and not because of us, but just because God allows them some things, and just because God may use some circumstances in our life, it does not mean that he approves of those things. I think God is big enough to get Moses into Pharaoh's palace. He already did, without Moses committing murder. You see, when Joseph's brothers threw him in the pit, it was the worst thing that could happen to Joseph, but it was also the best thing that could happen to Joseph. Going down to Potiphar's house was not easy, but going to Potiphar's house was just a stop on the way to the throne of Egypt. And then to prison, and then from prison to the palace. What I'm saying to you tonight is that Joseph said it in his own words to his brother, to his brethren that day when they stood before him. Now Joseph is the second most powerful man in Egypt, and he's standing before his brethren. God was not pleased with them, with their bitterness and their jealousy, and with them casting him into a pit. That's no way to treat a brother. I think you would agree with that tonight. But God is big enough to take the bad things. He's big enough to take the terrible things of life. Hey, he's big enough to take our mistakes and our wrongs. That doesn't mean God approves them. We should never elevate our sin. We should never say that, well, if this wouldn't have happened, that wouldn't have happened. Oh, no. God is much bigger. And Joseph recognized that because he looked at his brethren. He said, ye meant it for evil. And they did. But God. Only God can take evil and may turn it into good. He said, when you slung me in that pit, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. I'm going to tell you, Moses, what he did is wrong. What he did was taking matters in his own hands. And his sin is going to come to light. It's going to find, you cannot cover your sin. Listen to me tonight. You may have something in your life. It may be on your cell phone. It may be on your computer. It may be stuffed somewhere in a closet. You may have something you think nobody knows about that. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I'm telling you, the one that knows it all sees it all. And God sees what I'm doing, and he sees what you're doing. You can lock yourself in a room, but God sees it all. Hallelujah. And God knows how to bring it to light, don't he? I'm telling you tonight, we will not take the time, but we all have stories and illustrations. And the Bible is filled with them. Of how that God brought people's sin to light. David, the most powerful man in the kingdom. David, a man after God's own heart. David, a man, the sweet psalmist. David, who had won many battles and many victories for the nation of Israel. God said to Nathan, go down to the palace. I've got a little story for you. And I want you to give it to the king that day. What about the prophet that day when he walked in? You know what I like about Old Testament prophets? They didn't fear the kings. They had stood in the presence of a king that was a lot greater than the ones they were delivering the message to. Elijah had no fear of Ahab when he walked in that day. Nathan had no fear of David. You say, how is that possible? Their life could have been in their hands, but their life was in God's hand. You say, how is that possible? Those men had a message, amen? I'm going to tell you, when a man don't have a message, when all a man's got is intellect, when all a man's got is an outline, when all a man's got is a paycheck or a profession in some form of ministry or clergy, listen, that man, he's not going to get up and preach with any authority, amen? I'll tell you, when God burns something down deep in the recesses of a man's soul, when God gives a man discernment, it'll burn like a wildfire in his heart. He'll have to preach or die. Amen. It may cost him his paycheck. It may cost him his popularity. It may cost him some things in this life. But those men went in with a mandate. Those men went in, my friend, with something burning in their soul. Hey, we could have revival in this country once again if preachers would just get back to old time preaching on sin. Amen. I'm talking about calling it out by name. I don't know who it's going to hit, and I don't know who it's going to miss, but I long for the day when you could just go to church about anywhere, and a man of God had the right Bible, and he had the right message, and he was plugged into another world, and when he preached, he had the touch of God, and he preached with a burden, and he delivered it to people's souls. Hallelujah. I'm saying tonight, if you know, I have felt all day long about this. I'm human. And I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. I think it's the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if I'm wrong tonight, I would confess it publicly. But I have felt all day long that God is trying to get a hold of somebody. Got sin in their life. Doing something you're either doing something or you're thinking about doing something that you ought to not be doing. And I'm going to tell you tonight, on the authority of God's Word, If you pull the trigger on it, or if you have and you don't get right with God, God will uncover your sin. And He'll let the whole world see. I'm telling you tonight, you cannot cover your sin. Moses hid that man in the sand, but he came right back out, didn't he? You cannot cover your sin. Secondly, the man in the sand, the message is that your sin will eventually, it'll call you out. Look at verse number 13. And when he went out the second day, Moses is feeling pretty good about this, justified in what he did. Behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? I want to say tonight, his sin was called out by another. His sin was called out by a brother. Moses is standing there. One day he will be the meekest man in all the earth, but he is not the meekest man in all the earth in this text. His mother hit him in the bulrush to save his life for spiritual reasons and spiritual purposes. But when he hides this man in the sea, in the sand, it's not for spiritual reasons, it's for sinful reasons. He said, well, he was defending somebody, but Moses let that anger get the best of him. Moses took matters in his own hands. Moses puts that man in the sea, in the sand, and buries him and goes on as nothing ever happened. And the next day, he gets up and has the audacity to even come to two brethren that are fussing and arguing and fighting, and one smites the other. And the Bible said he calls out the one that is wrong, but it was his brother that called out his sin. Your sin, God will uncover it, but I'll tell you this, your sin, God, you may be surprised who God may use to call your sin out. You know, you probably heard the story. I don't know where this story originated. I remember hearing it years ago. It's a true story. I remember hearing preachers tell this story years ago when I was a teenager. And I'm sure there's some sitting here tonight that you no doubt heard the same story. Of a man who had lived clean and pure all of his life, or all of his teenage years. And he was to be married to this young lady who also had lived clean and pure through her teenage years. And on the night before that they was to get married, some of his friends talked him into going out and having a bachelor party and living it up and living free just before he ties the knot, they said. So he does. He goes out. He lives an immoral life. The next day he walks down the aisle. He marries that clean, pure young lady as if nothing had ever happened. But later on, Brother Laddie, you know this story, don't you? But later on, she became a child, and when that child was born blind. Brother Danny, you probably heard this story. And that child was born blind and could not see. They tested and come to find out it was sexually transmitted as to why that child was born blind. And some years went by. I can't remember how the story, all the details of that story, but some years went by, and he had to live with that guilt all those years. That little girl sitting on the couch one day, her dad was in the living room, the mother was gone. And she said to him, she said, Daddy, why did God make me born blind? And that father went out and took his life because he could not live with it. A little girl called out her daddy's sin. I'm telling you, sin is serious tonight. You're playing with fire. You're playing Russian roulette if you let sin come into your life. You can plan whatever you want to. You can say whatever you want to, but one day it will call you out. You cannot cover your sin, and your sin will eventually call you out. Moses must have been shocked to see. You know, and that's the thing about sin. You ever heard the saying, sin makes people stupid? It's true. How do you think you can murder somebody and bury them and nobody's going to find out about it? But man has been doing that for years, hasn't he? And we could talk about adultery tonight. People have committed adultery and it's ruined their lives and ruined their marriage and ruined their children and it's ruined churches, it's ruined ministry. And people, they don't get by with adultery.
But yet somehow sin makes people so stupid to think that you can be the one person that's going to commit that sin and no one's ever going to know about it. People think that, well, I can take one drug and I'll never be addicted. It's just one time. I'll just drink one bottle of beer and I won't get drunk. And it's just one party. It's just one time. It's just one look on the internet. And I'm not going to go back to it a second time or a third time. But sin, will, it causes people to lose their common sense. People will sell every good thing God's ever given them. Sin, and then they'll put it in the sand thinking nobody will ever know about this. I want to say tonight the message of the man in the sand is you cannot cover your sin and get by. Your sin will eventually call you out, and then finally notice this. Your sin will bring consequences in your life. The Bible says in verse number 14 that Moses feared and he said, surely this thing is known. And watch verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Moses took a man's life, and now someone far more powerful than the Egyptian that he killed is seeking his life. Moses took this man's life, and now Pharaoh has vowed to take his life. What does it prove? It proves that sin only makes things worse. It does not make things better. Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but I want you to know something. Those little moments of pleasure will not make your life better. You can have those moments of pleasure, but just rest assured, those moments of pleasure, whatever it be, is going to bring consequences. And with those consequences, life is going to get more complicated. It's going to get more hard. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Sin is not going to make life easy. Sin is going to make life very difficult. You know, here's the thing about that verse of Scripture. You don't know how long a season is. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. A season could be a year. It could be a month. It could be a week. That season could be one day. That season could be 1 hour. You do that sin, you go out and you commit that sin and say, the consequences will be great. The consequences could be swift. Think about it. Moses, his whole world changed in 24 hours because of what he did. Can you imagine this? Now, we look at Moses' life and thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Thank God that God works in spite of us and not because of us. And I'm glad failure is not final. But you think about this also tonight. Moses' mother risked her life. She risked her life. And so did his father to spare the life of Moses. They loved him and they prayed for him and she built that bulrush and she put him in it. And with faith like I could never imagine, the love of a mother, but the faith of a mother, to put him inside that little basket and set him on the edge of a Nile and put him solely in the hands of God and take her hands solely off of her son. Moses heard that story. Moses knew he wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for his godly mother. But now Moses has to flee without a goodbye, without an explanation. Maybe they knew the whole thing. But could you imagine? That's what sin does. Sin separates you. Sin takes you away from the people that have done the most for you, loved you the most, and care for you. You say, preacher, are you saying that sin would do that to me? I'm just saying that's what sin did to Moses. It's what happened when Abel died. Listen, Adam and Eve, they lost two sons that day. Sin separated them from the Garden of Eden. Sin separated those brothers from each other. Sin separated both of their sons from those parents. Sin separates tonight. I don't know exactly. I know it's Sunday night, but I don't know exactly. But I know what. Maybe it's just a solemn warning that's going out tonight, but perhaps the Holy Spirit is nudging on somebody's heart right now, trying to get. Maybe it's more than a warning in some people's life to say, hey, you need to get right about what you're doing. You need to come clean. You need to
to get scared absolutely to death about what you're doing or thinking about doing tonight. Moses runs to the desert to try to save his life. We probably don't hear enough preaching on sin nowadays. People don't fear it like they used to. I was getting ready this morning, and on the radio there on Sunday mornings, they'll read an old message. Someone will read it. They'll narrate an old sermon from the past, from way back, 1800s, early 1900s. And the sermon that I was listening to this morning as we was getting ready was on Billy Sunday. It was Billy Sunday's sermon. Somebody was reading Sunday's sermon, and Sunday, you know what he was preaching on? He was preaching against liquor and alcohol. And he was busting it. I mean, he was just nailing it. But then he got to preaching on backsliding and hammering, being backslidden. I mean, Sunday was just he got there and in backsliding. He talked, he gave illustration after illustration. He talked about a young lady that started going. Can you imagine in the early 1900s, somewhere we're talking about 1916, 1917. Can you imagine what they called dancing in 1916 and 17? Now she said in that, Billy Sunday quoted in that sermon that when she went dancing, she noticed it affected her prayer life. And she went a second time, she noticed it affected her church attendance. And he was dealing with backslide, and he went to another, and he went to another, and he went to another. And I was listening to that sermon today, and I thought, Lord, help us today. We don't hear enough preaching on sin. We don't hear enough preaching about backsliding anymore. In fact, it's a word that in some churches is seldom, if ever, used anymore. But I'll tell you tonight, everybody, include this pastor included, we can all backslide if we're not careful. Brother, I'm telling you, if we don't stay in our Bible, we don't stay on our knees, and we don't stay close to God, I'm talking about all of us tonight, that we can look right on the outside but falling apart on the inside. I don't want to backslide, do you? I'm telling you, this flesh has not been saved. This flesh is still wicked. This flesh is still ungodly. My flesh is capable of doing anything that anybody else's flesh is capable of doing tonight. And God, help us not to just sit aside and just kindly brush it off. I'm telling you tonight, we ought to do inventory. I need to do inventory. You need to do inventory. I'm telling you, it takes just something little. Get down in the recesses of our soul, and it can grow like a cancer. I'm talking about it can ruin us tonight. Moses, the man in the sand, helped Moses more than he knew. For if Moses could have buried this man and went on and it never been called to light, Moses would have never been the leader God wanted him to be. It took this man in the sand to bring Moses to the breaking point. He ran from Pharaoh, but he ran straight into the arms of God. I want to say this tonight. I really feel this burden. If you're here tonight and you're not where you need to be at with God, you're saved. Maybe somebody here not saved, but you're here tonight, you're saved, but you're backslid. Would you get right with God tonight?